Dear ones, welcome to worship today on this day that we celebrate the reign of Christ as King. Please join me in worship today as you are able. We are delighted that you are here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? We enter this place with thanksgiving because we know that the Lord to whom we belong is our shepherd and our King. We rejoice over the steadfast love and faithfulness of God, enduring forever to all generations. Come, let us worship God with praise and joy, and with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we come to light the Christ candle, recognizing Christ as our sovereign King and the Lord of all. Praise be to God. Please pray the prayer of confession with me. Dear Lord, you are the King of the world, the Creator of all things, and the Giver of life. You have made us in your image and invited us to be your children, heirs of your kingdom, and we thank you and praise you for this. We confess that even with those blessings, we sin and fall short of what you long for us to be. We find our identity in earthly things and worship them more than you. We are more interested in seeing our own agendas realized than seeing your kingdom come. Forgive us. Help us to open ourselves once again to your unending forgiveness. Create in us clean hearts and fill us with your presence. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And what has Christ done? Not condemned, but died for us, rose for us, and now reigns over us, not in power, but in love. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46 from the NIV version. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will all answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, in case you haven't picked up on this already from the parts of the service we've already been through, today is the day that we celebrate the reign of Christ, that Jesus is our King, and that he has established his reign in this world as a certainty that we get to watch come into being even in the midst of the messiness that still exists in this world. Well, today we have come to the third in our series of three parables from this chapter. And as we heard, this parable begins in a very appropriate way for Christ the King Sunday. We most often hear this reading referred to as the parable of the sheep and the goats. But if you were listening carefully in the opening verses, you'll realize that it isn't so much a parable in its classic form, but it's actually a vision of a heavenly scene that uses the form of a parable to try to describe what's happening in that scene. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. When that day comes, the king is going to be doing some sorting. And like a shepherd in Jesus' time would have separated his sheep and goats, who grazed together during the day but needed to be separated at night. So this would have been a very familiar image for Jesus' disciples. Jesus tells us that all the nations will be sorted, sheep off to the right and goats off to the left. He'll pronounce the sheep as righteous and blessed because they've cared for him in the most tangible, basic, and essential ways, by giving him food, water, or clothing, or by welcoming him, or by visiting him when he was sick or in prison. And then he says that he'll invite those who are sheep to come and take their inheritance, life in the kingdom God has been preparing for them since the beginning. Now, at first, the sheep won't understand. They won't remember doing any of those things for Christ. And he'll explain that when they loved and cared for their neighbors, especially their neighbors who were among the least powerful and consequently the most vulnerable of people, they were actually loving and caring for him. Conversely, he will tell the goats to depart from him and he'll condemn them to the eternal fire because of their lack of love and care for him. And when they don't understand, because they won't remember a time that they saw him in need and didn't help, he'll explain that when they hadn't loved and cared for those same neighbors, they hadn't loved and cared for him. And so those who are righteous will go to eternal life, and those who aren't, not so good. Jesus is clearly saying here that there will come a time when everyone's actions will be judged. He's also saying that acts of compassion that truly meet the real needs of those who are less fortunate, they will be more important than we can possibly imagine. So important that they are essentially the same as meeting the needs of Jesus himself. Loving others, especially loving our most vulnerable neighbors, people who often get overlooked or ignored, is virtually the same as loving Christ. Remember what Jesus has told us are the two greatest commandments, love God and love others. Well, it seems that when we serve our most vulnerable neighbors, the line between loving God and loving others becomes almost indistinguishable. Now, most of you would probably prefer me to just stop right there. Leave us alone, Diane. Let us just carry on doing what Jesus says, and then we can ensure that we will be among those who are blessed. Right? Except that I know that I'm getting a feeling again today that I'm starting to recognize, because I've had this same feeling over the last three Sundays, every time we've heard one of these parables from this chapter. Each week, on some level in some part of my brain, I think, great, I just need to do what Jesus says in this parable and I'll be all good. So here we are, 3 weeks and 3 parables in, and I'm still thinking that if I can just do all these things we've been hearing about, I'll be good. And then a little voice in my head says, but you can't. You can't do all those things, and you don't do them all. Not all the time. Try as I might, I know I am far from perfect in these things. With just today's parable alone, I find myself wondering about the person I walked past outside the liquor store last weekend, or the person who was sleeping under a tarp out back here 2 weeks ago. Was I wrong to decide not to stop? How do you know when the help that they're asking for is the help they really need? Who among us has not second-guessed ourselves in any of these encounters? Who among us hasn't wondered if one day Jesus might say, for I was hungry and I was thirsty and you walked right past me? That little voice makes me wonder, will I really be all good? That little voice makes me nervous. Maybe you've heard that little voice yourself over these past 3 weeks. One of the commentaries I read this week said this: it is possible to read this parable, and I would argue the other two as well, to read them and miss the gospel. What do they mean by that? Well, we can read these parables and end up thinking that Jesus is telling us that we need to live a certain way and do certain things in order to ensure, or rather, in order to earn our salvation, life in God's kingdom. Now, I know that's wrong, but it is the little lie that is behind that thought that I know I've been tempted by in these past 3 weeks, that if I can just do what Jesus says, I'll be all good. And it is a lie, my friends, because as we know, our entire faith is based on the belief that it's not actually possible for any of us to be good enough to earn our salvation, to earn God's kingdom life. It's not something we earn, it's something we are given. That's essential to the heart of it. It's not actually possible to earn our way into God's kingdom because the life that we find there is a gift of pure grace, granted us not because of anything we do, but solely because of what Jesus has already done. That's the gospel we believe, friends. That's the gospel we're betting the farm on. And it's the gospel that we actually discover at the foot of the cross when we remember again the lengths that Jesus went to simply because he loves us. I've told you this little story before, but it's worth repeating. A number of years ago, during one of our vacation Bible schools, a little girl who was 6 years old was showing her grandmother around the church, and they came here into the sanctuary. She pointed up at this cross, and she said, "Grandma, do you know what that is?" Grandma answered that it was the cross. But the little girl said, "No, Grandma. Do you know what it is?" Grandma was kind of confused and figured there was more going on here. So she said, "Sweetheart, what is it?" And that wise little girl said, "Grandma, that's what shows us how very much God loves us." Friends, good luck ever finding better theology than that. Christ our King willingly gave his life on a cross so that all, as we hear in this reading, all the nations could have God's kingdom life if they want it. Our great 6-year-old theologian was absolutely right. The cross is what shows us and reminds us every day how very much God loves us. And as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, it is the love of Christ that actually urges us on. Friends, we don't break down the doors of heaven with our good deeds and our piety. Those doors have been flung wide open for us by the very grace that we proclaim here at the beginning of every service, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we recognize and accept his love and grace each day, then we begin to live in these kingdom ways, doing these things we hear about in these parables. Not to earn that blessed life Jesus promises, but in response to the gift of that life he's already welcoming us to. In all three of these parables we hear this month, the people who were blessed, those who represent the righteous, people who are in right relationship with God, they weren't actively trying to work their way into God's good books. They're just responding authentically to the grace they were already experiencing. The virgins, they were anticipating with bated breath, I dare say, seeing their bridegroom every day. And so every day they wanted to do everything they needed to do to be ready for him. Things that weren't onerous, but were actually a joy. Those servants that we heard about last week, they were enlivened by their master's trust in them. And so they eagerly put everything he'd left with them to work, excited to think about the day they would get to share with him all that had happened as a result. And here, today, the sheep, who had known the deep, deep love and compassion and care of their shepherd every day. They let that love and compassion and care flow through them to others around them. Because that's how love's designed. Love isn't meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be shared. That's just the way love is. So now, today, as we celebrate the reign of Christ, we can take all three messages from these parables and weave them together. I think that's what Jesus was doing for his disciples that day. Because when we do that, we start to see a vision for how glorious life under the reign of Christ can be and will be. And some days, even now, is. It's a life in which people attend to their relationship with God, and the fruit of that attention shines through their lives. You can smell it on them. It's a life in which people understand that the best way to live is to live selflessly, being willing to share yourself and your energies as the Spirit of God leads you to his vision for a renewed world. It's a life in which no one is ever unnoticed or ignored, and everyone receives all the love we each need in tangible and intangible ways. As Jesus has said, it's a life that is full and abundant. And it is the life that he came and died and rose again for us all to have. Amen.
From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled. Not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to servant King. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone Him. Each other's needs to prefer.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning in the presence and fellowship of God. As I was thinking about this week's prayers and what I should focus on, I was continually confronted by the generosity of the people and the nature of this amazing place we live in. There's so much beauty in the souls of the folks in this congregation and the community that we are in and the natural environment around us. We're blessed to live where we do. I will offer a short silence at the end of each Lord, hear our prayers, for you to offer your own prayers. Let us pray. Good morning, amazing God. Thank you for continually being present in our lives and being so open to walk with us if we stop to listen for your footsteps and quiet voice. Sometimes we hear that voice in the chirp of a bird, or the spouting of a whale, or the laughter of a child, or even just the wind in the trees. Or maybe it's you in a warm embrace with a person comforting us, or as we provide comfort to someone else. Thank you for walking with us. While we enjoy your ever-present love and grace, there are many in the world who still are unaware of how beautiful life with you can be. And so we ask that you continue to send out your disciples to all corners of the earth to tell your stories of love and forgiveness, of hope and grace, of renewal and regrowth, so that everyone can experience your nearness as we are so blessed to do. Lord, we pray for all of those who are in harm's way by war and weather, by prejudice and hatred, and we ask that you bring them peace and hope through your love. We ask that you show us how to be instruments of your message of love, and that you give us the strength to live our lives as you taught us through the stories of your Son, Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers. Most knowledgeable God, as we humans learn to use the mental capacity that you created us with, we seem to want to know as much as you do. We know that is not possible, but we always try. Lord, we ask that you instill in those who are creating artificial intelligence a sense of doing good for the world instead of greed. The artificial intelligence is just that, Lord, and we know it's artificial, and we know that you're all-knowing. There's no knowledge that you do not already know. Lord, we ask that you support all leaders of your church here in Oceanside and guide us as we attempt to discern the ministry that you would have us undertake on your behalf. We also ask that you bring wisdom to leaders all over the world, whether they're leaders of churches, governments, special interest groups, or military groups. Bring them wisdom that helps each of them to understand your message of love your neighbor as yourself. And if they do, the reward of your love is far greater than any reward they can hope to gain from causing grief to others. Lord, as I watched the mighty humpback whales feeding and playing amongst the seagulls and lions, sea lions this week, it was clear to me that your creation is beyond words. We know that we humans who have created who you created in your image and to whom you gave dominion over the rest of creation, have not done a very good job of looking after things. But we also know that we can do better. Lord, with your guidance and leadership, we can learn to take less and give back more of what you have given us to your creation in order to make your garden flourish. Help us to be fully engaged in your new creation. Lord, hear our prayers. Most understanding and patient Lord, you have gathered a wonderful collection of your children here to St. Stephen's United Church. We give thanks for the young families and children who have chosen to worship with us as they begin their journey of faith. We ask that you help us to make them feel welcome. Many of us here are closer to the end of our journey of faith than to the beginning, and we ask that you stay close to us as we get closer to coming to live with you. Not that any of us is in a hurry to join you, but we do look for your guidance, grace, and understanding as we seek to use and enjoy the many gifts you have bestowed upon us while we're still able to be active here in Oceanside. Your church is a great comfort and a place of care and love, and we ask that you keep us focused on the work that we undertake in your name. Lord, hear our prayers. As we conclude our prayers, Lord, we pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, let me thank you for the way you give to the life and work of St. Stephen's. Let me thank you for the way you give to make this online service possible. We are so appreciative of your support of this part of our ministry. Let's pray now to dedicate all of the gifts given to God's purposes. God, whose giving knows no ending, we offer up the treasure that you have entrusted to us. We offer up the skills and time that you have graciously given to us. We offer up ourselves in service and praise. Receive these gifts by your grace. Multiply and use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish Christ's work of love in the world. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, a reminder again of the December dates coming up. December 10th, 2 p.m. will be our cantata here in the sanctuary. If you are within driving distance of St. Stephen's, I encourage you to think about attending. It is a wonderful Christmas tradition. And December 24th, in the morning, we will have one service here at 10 a.m. and then two services in the afternoon/evening, one at 4 p.m. that will have a little more of a family focus, and one at 7 that will be a traditional Christmas service with candles and the whole shebang. Candles will actually be at both services. But the 7 o'clock's a little more traditional feeling. So hope we can see you at some of those services. And of course, we will have an online Christmas Eve service available for you to watch from wherever you are. Friends, it is not enough to acclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and King. Our mission in life is to make his kingdom a reality among us, and to bring it to those around us through our words and through our deeds. The way to do this is to live as he lived, for others in love and service. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord and to give living, breathing shape to his kingdom. And as you go, may God Almighty, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you in your task. Amen.
virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Conquered death, and the dead rose from their tomb.